Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
You spoke actually just before the conference, right, at the health and wellness seminar?
Exactly, yes. There was a whole three-day-long health and wellness section just before the crypto side of things and anarchy side of things.
So tell me, what was it that you were speaking on? Like, give our listeners a taste of, you know, what they missed.
Okay, so I was a medical doctor for 6 years. I was part-timing in the ER up until January 2017.
And in one country?
In England.
Okay.
And then I completely finally gave up my license. Yay. Last June, I'm still on the register, but I have officially given up my license so I can do alternative healing practices, which involves administering frog poison to people, which is what I spoke on. Yeah. So
why would you administer frog poison to people?
Well, yeah, it does seem a bit counterintuitive, but actually it's incredibly healing. It contains a whole cocktail of biologically active peptides, which can affect blood pressure, adrenal axis, attaches to the pituitary, affects, modulates the hormonal system, amazing for chronic pain, people with low immunity, depression, anxiety, apathy, amazing results with all of those.
How do you get the frogs to give up the poison?
Yeah, well, I call it 99% ethically harvested because you call them down from the tree using the mating call, so they think they're going to get laid, but actually you tie them up.
Surprise! How hard is it to get your hands on this stuff? I mean, do you have to go down to South America or...
It's actually not as hard as it should be, in my opinion. You can actually order it online,
really?
But I really don't recommend it.
On the dark web or where?
Just normal.
Really?
I don't know. Type it in. You can probably order it. I'm not advocating that at all, but you can. And essentially, yeah, it's important to be with a practitioner at least a few times before you even think about
self-administering. So you need a guide. You need somebody there.
You really do, because there's massive...
What happens? What do you do? I mean, is it... Please don't tell me it's a suppository.
It's not. That would actually be a little bit nicer, probably. So, no, this gets burnt. You make little small burn marks in the skin, pick off the epidermis, the top layer of skin, and you put the medicine on just on top there, and it gets sucked into the body and into the lymphatic system.
Okay.
And it causes a profound detoxification and purge. So you vomit in a bucket. You have to drink a lot of water. It lasts about
how long are you vomiting for?
About half an hour. Okay. It's not constantly. It's kind of like a roller coaster.
It's been almost 20 years in broadcast, and I have never interviewed a frog-puking lady.
This is awesome. And she's really beautiful as well.
That much is true, yes. Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
You're also interested in psychedelic research, and that's what we were getting into just a few moments ago, specifically in the area of psilocybin, but are you also looking at, you know, other things like LSD or MDMA?
Actually, to me,
MDMA is not a psychedelic, but...
Yeah, well, of course, there's MDMA-assisted psychotherapeutic research going on now in England, which is amazing with MAPS. But no, that's actually not my area of interest. I'm fascinated by mushrooms because I believe, through my own work with ayahuasca and other substances, that these medicines, these plants, have a spirit and an energy, and they have an intelligence, an emotional intelligence, and they're actually kind of teaching you things, and they're talking to you. It's a way
the
of...
The ones on my pizza?
Not those ones, man. Okay. Those ones, they're dead. They're inert.
Okay. They're great.
They taste good, but yeah, probably a lot better than the psychedelic ones. But
in my time, I remember going to school, we learned there were two kingdoms. There was Animalia and Planta, right? That's it. Now they've added fungi or in whatever, I don't know the name of it or whatever, too. There's five of them. Somewhere along the line, and the time I was in high school to the time I was out, they added a few. Apparently, mushrooms are so important, they get their own.
Yeah, completely. They're actually kind of an in-between of the two. And some people would even say that mushrooms were the first, I don't know what they exactly, but the first living thing to come out of the sea, and that actually they're our ancestors.
Okay.
Huh. Well, I mean, you can go off into the area of the idea that everything's connected and that these, you know, plants, these mushrooms, they have what you're talking about, messages or whatever, and certainly Indian shamans would have probably made the same statement.
It goes a little further back than that.
You're going to be putting a website out soon. Can you tell our listeners what that is, but they can't go there right away?
Yeah, it'll be like in a week or two. It's www.alchemywithalex.com.
And what's that going to be?
It's going to be a platform for me to share about my adventures and my journeys. I really believe in going and doing it myself before I, you know, start talking about it. So I kind of will just head off into the Mexican mountains and do random things like that. And I'm about to start doing a load of kind of health things for myself and my own healing this year, which I'm going to be blogging about. And it's also a place you can check out what else I do. I offer coaching, life coaching for people, which integrates my health and wellness along with the shamanic So it's a bit of an everything, a milieu.
So you're going to be like blogging, or will you be doing videos?
Yeah, blogging. I'm just starting up my YouTube channel now, which will also be Alchemy with Alex, which I haven't yet. I'm going to connect it all to my website somehow. I've got some epic wizard who's working on it right now.
Okay.
Wow. Those wizards are slower than you think.
Yeah, it was meant to be ready in January, but hey, there you go.
It isn't a magic spell. It's a potion that they mix over time. I can assure you.
Gummy bear juice.
And it's your first Anarchapulco.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
What's it like for you? I mean, have you ever been to an event like this before?
Never. And you know what? I never even identified as an anarchist before, particularly, but I realize now I've actually just been living my life as one my whole life.
Surprise!
Da-da-da-da, here I am.
Now Airbits is morphing, as we discussed last time we had you on, Paul, from the Texas Bitcoin Conference, into Edge Wallet. Tell me about that.
Yeah, so we actually...
You didn't name it after this guy, did you?
Of course we
did. Yes,
I absolutely did. Exactly. Yeah. You
know, I'm the new spokesman.
A new spokesman, founder, president. Actually, we don't have a president yet. So Mark is now our new president. Great.
I'm happy to be the face of the Edge Wallet.
But it's a much better face than mine. So at Airbits, we had always been pushing this new form of securing data, meaning private keys, in a way that only people have access to them. Not an IT manager, not a bank, not a custodian, and only users. And our kind of tagline was, we secure data at the edges of the network. And at the edges of the network, at the very edges, are people.
That's where the users
right?
are.
That's where the users are. It's our devices. It's for us. Empowering individuals, which is at the heart of cryptocurrency. And we realized that our wallet did it quite well and very familiar, and now all of the decentralized apps needed it as well. You know, like the Augurs, the Wings of the world, and Dorse, all of these dApps. So we deployed a platform to them, and we called it an edge security platform. And then to make it super easy, we built in a single sign-on that people could use the Airbits wallet, scan a barcode, sign into these apps, all decentralized. No one sees the data, the keys, other than the end user. We call that edge login.
I had heard about the rep tokens, Augur.
Yeah.
Back when it came out, I picked up a few of them, and I never really looked at it again.
They've done well.
So there's people on there basically placing bets. I'm sure that's not a word they would use, but I don't know. It seems like gambling, and I fully support gambling. part of the reason why they've set it up this way is to decentralize it to where there's not one company that gets raided, right, by like a government. That's kind of the idea.
Well, that also allows you access to. It's access. So you can access services that you couldn't from anywhere in the world. That's one of the key aspects of crypto.
Also, it seems to be the results are, instead of, you know, gambling on whether it's going to be the Yankees or the Red Sox that win a particular baseball game, which is what you're generally allowed to bet on, is you can just bet on any old weird thing.
Well,
can,
that's true.
Yeah. You can say, you can say what the rainfall is going to be in sub-Saharan Africa, as you said, or, you know, I think that Kim Jong-un is going to die of a gunshot wound as opposed to a natural causes. I mean, like, you could just say anything.
Anything, exactly. That's what a prediction market effectively is, but you can build so many financial tools on top of that, such as insurance and loans and whatnot. So I think that's the power of this, is the flexibility.
Tell me, you know, there's a zillion cryptocurrencies out there. Why PIVX?
Why did you want to get in this market?
What's
your role with PIVX? What do you do with them?
My role is just economic analyst. You can call me the lead economist with PIVX.
Okay.
And the lead developers who started PIVX, they're really radical libertarians/anarchists who wanted to have absolute privacy and a true, totally decentralized peer-to-peer network. So PIVX forked from Dash. Dash was forked from Bitcoin. Most cryptocurrencies.
I thought Dash was forked from Litecoin.
Dash was forked from Litecoin, which was forked from Bitcoin, and now PIVX was forked from Dash.
On and on and on. So we're running a Bitcoin core code, just like most other really secure cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin's a proven code base that provides cryptographic security assets.
But the blockchain is a public ledger that allows interests, like say governments around the world, to discern what transactions are occurring and potentially with enough computing power figure out what you spent back in 2011.
Exactly, and that's why PIVX wanted to go totally towards privacy, utilizing the Zerocoin protocol, which we implemented in November of last year.
Owning a PIVX is like buying a lot of tickets.
Yes.
As long as that PIVX is in a node type wallet.
Node type wallet that is actually providing consensus and hashing power.
But you said it's not inflationary, but there's new PIVX.
There's
being
new PIVX created, but it's not at your cost.
Technically, inflation.
It is inflation, but it's not at your cost.
I mean, all of these currencies are inflationary, but yeah. one can argue that at least with Bitcoin. People are losing them constantly.
I think there is a deflationary aspect.
So I studied to be a financial advisor, and if I was advising somebody and explaining to them the economic costs of currencies, I would say that Bitcoin currently has a 5% annual expense ratio.
So
meaning that 5% more new Bitcoin is created and paid to a miner, a third party, not you. To run your currency for you.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so with Litecoin, it's 10%. With Dash, it's between 10 to 15% every single year expense ratio. So the coin has to go. So either people have to hodl with a Ponzi scheme kind of mentality, or it's economically, PIVX is economically sound today and forever.
But doesn't proof of stake, which is, again, different from how Bitcoin's set up, where people are competing for mining power with graphical cards that's proof of work. You've done a lot of interesting things. You started on YouTube several years back with a channel about picking up women, right?
That's right.
Tell me about, you know, where you were back then and how you ended up doing a spiritual podcast that we'll end up talking about here in moments.
Sure. Well, like many guys out there, I found myself quite lost because I didn't really have any male role models at all. My father ran away when I was 3. My mother was, frankly, crazy. Like, she had a lot of pain and she didn't really process it in her life. So I really got a lot of abuse as a child. So I really had no self-confidence. I didn't really feel good about myself. There's no reason I would. You know, I was a super needy kid. And as I grew up, you know, I did certain things to try and overcome that. So I got into stand-up comedy when I was 17, eventually became a professional stand-up comic. But even doing stand-up comedy in my 20s, I wasn't coming from a place of self-love. I was doing even comedy so that the audience would laugh at my jokes and give me love.
Right, but you couldn't fill the hole.
I couldn't fill the hole, that's right. And many people try and fill that hole in many ways in life. For me, it was stand-up comedy. And even though I was in my 20s and I was already a professional comedian, you know, I'd opened up for some big names and such, I was super needy when it came to chicks. I mean, I was that guy. I was that super nice guy, you know, saying things like, oh, if I just could get a girlfriend, I'd buy her flowers and get her chocolate. I was so needy, clueless, like a really sweet, nice guy with absolutely no idea. And so, of course, you know, I started looking at this whole pickup thing, and they were teaching all this stuff that really was inauthentic, you know, like you have to say these lines.
Some lines.
Pickup lines, you get stories, and, you know, pretend that you have lots of money, like all this fake stuff to
try. Series of words.
Horrible. We don't have an initiation ritual anymore as men where we learn that it's okay to try and succeed and it's okay to fail and it's okay to get back up. We don't have that. So men are terrified of expressing themselves authentically in any way. They're terrified of expressing their sexuality because we're trained that you're a horrible person. How dare you be sexual? Respect women. It's like, you know, things have gotten out of control.
Women are sexual too.
Women love sex more than us.
Yeah, that's what
it's about the same.
Guess what? More than us, in my experience. They go nuts.
Mine too.
Yeah, so he knows what's up.
If I could give advice to the young men out there as far as pickups go, here's my advice. Look people in the eye. And use, when you're first doing an introduction, use your lowest voice you have. Not a new lower voice than your voice, but your lowest voice that you have. And just, you know, it gives a little bit of a command, it gives a little bit of control, and I think that's all you need. And comb your hair, for God's sake.
Do the big, wash your armpits, brush your teeth.
Those things are good.
Don't be on crystal meth.
Those are really
meth.
Good. Well,
But it just came down to, you know, I just got more and more comfortable throughout the years just being myself and just saying, hey, you're being, that's it. And it was amazing. Within 3-4
And were you still, just to interrupt, you still making videos at that time?
Around the time I actually just started getting comfortable just talking to girls anywhere, in a Starbucks, on the street, in a movie theater, a yoga class, anywhere. Yeah. I was just very good because I was a comic. I was good at coming up with authentic but just fun ways.
Yeah.
Fun ways of meeting girls.
It's
rather
best,
than,
but, you know, even if
like
you just
for
do
example, for example, if a girl's at a gym, I just walk up to her and say, how much? And she'd be like, what do you mean? And I'd be like, how much do you charge for a personal session? You're super hot. Obviously,
you're a trainer,
and she's like, no, I just were. Oh, okay, oh my god. So of course she's laughing, and it's just a fun way of starting
That's
a conversation.
Clever.
What I started to realize slowly, and I think many of us human beings are coming to this conclusion, is that you can't really fill that void that we all feel, where we want to be loved. You can't fill that up with anything other than self-love and have it be lasting. Some people turn to money, booze, drugs, relationships. All those things are temporary, and they don't work. Only when you truly
what person could possibly provide you enough love to fill the hole that you have for lack of love for yourself.
Right.
Who has that kind of time? I mean, what person's going to make a hobby for the rest of their life of giving you the energy and that you need? It's not possible.
Right. The only way you're really going to be in an amazing relationship is when you truly, fully love and accept who you are already, and then you find someone who's also in that place, and then you can truly be together.
Right. Then I don't think you have to reach the end of the line to get that great relationship. I think you can be on the journey to filling,
absolutely.
Finding self-love, sure. Which I believe to be a lifelong journey.
Absolutely.
You're always going to be uncovering areas where you have, you know, inconsistencies and areas where, oh, I'm not as comfortable here as I
That's
could
right.
be, and that kind of thing. And if you find another person who's on that journey, then, yeah, you guys are going to have a great time.
Right.
Well, there's a certain mindset that you hear frequently that I think contributes to real negativity, which is that, oh, you complete me, which suggests that you're not already complete. And again, that's filling that hole, that vision. Whereas if you feel like you are complete and you do love yourself, then as you're saying, you're going to attract the right person to you, who's then going to be a bonus.
Holding in your trauma and not letting it out turns people into axe murderers. I'm not kidding.
No
we
doubt.
Need to
no
get
doubt.
That trauma out of the system. So that's just one example. You know,
by the way, just for listeners listening here, the room noise has just increased by like 10 times because there must be 400 people that just piled out. Maybe
it's got to be more
600,
than that.
600.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
I don't even know who's
the
speaking
room was
in there.
Full.
Right now.
It was
a
it was Roger
there,
Ver,
dude.
So that's why.
Oh,
it,
Roger.
It was completely
Oh,
packed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Yeah, Roger Ver from Bitcoin.com, who we had on earlier.
Sasha, I want to talk real quick.
Make sure you get real close on that mic.
Sure,
I know you
sure.
already are, but
yeah,
keep your voice loud.
Stay on the mics. Right. So I had an experience at an event. It was a landmark education event, and we did this one particular exercise where we did we sat for, I don't know, maybe 10, maybe 15, maybe 20 minutes. I have no idea. Just staring into another person's eyes, right? In my case, mm-hmm. I was paired with this firefighter from Tampa. And, you know, dude's jacked, right? You know, his short cropped haircut, everything you could expect, sort of the manly man thing. The fact that he even came to this event amazed me, right? And he was so open. And it was such an amazing experience for me, because for me, that 20 minutes looking into this guy's eyes, maybe it was 10, I have no idea how long it was. I was able to sort of tear down the wall between me and sort of masculinity, because that's what he looked like to me. He looked like masculinity to me.
We were actually interviewed by you guys, I think, a couple of days ago here at the conference.
Yep.
You had me and mm-hmm. Mark, who's out going to get me some tacos right now.
That's
but,
a good friend. Absolutely. You got to feed your people, man.
Absolutely.
Some good tacos.
I haven't
too.
Even eaten yet today. So, you did an interview of us about sort of how Free Talk Live got started and what it is, and, you know, we're on radio stations, etc. And you posted it to your Steemit page.
Yep.
Now, are you uploading the videos to YouTube or DTube or both?
Now, we prefer doing DTube, but unfortunately, the Mexican internet is not that great.
Okay.
Or maybe we're being, you know, interfered with by net neutrality, or who knows what's going on, but DTube isn't working that great right now, so we've been using YouTube.
YouTube. It's good to have on multiple platforms.
Yeah.
And you are interviewing all kinds of people. You've been probably posting a lot of content here from what I was looking at compared to some of the other folks that might be, like, we're doing recording the show. So you're next to live, basically. You're doing an interview and you're kicking it out there. You're not doing any editing or anything like that, right?
No, we try to keep it as raw as possible.
Yeah, we like to do the nature scenes. We like to bring it to our listeners the way, like, we're having a conversation. Like, you came over to our house and we're
right.
friends. We want them to feel comfortable and build that rapport. And so we do it really organically.
So take it back to the beginning of The Encrypted Couple. You guys are a couple, I take it. You know, it's not like a show thing, right? Like, you guys are actually a couple.
Yeah, no, we're actually madly in love.
Okay.
Oh, baby.
The biggest confusion, I think, is people think they have to have a whole Bitcoin.
Yep. Or the Bitcoin's the only thing that exists.
Right. So, yeah, there's a learning curve, and people got to get into it. So you were thinking about that?
Yeah, and so we kind of just looked at the biggest YouTube accounts. And
for crypto?
And, yeah.
Or the biggest, okay.
Yeah, and just kind of thought, what could we contribute? And, you know, we just thought, let's use the couple aspect and show that we are both just as into this, and it's not like a male-dominated thing. Right now, we're at Anarchapuco.
Yep.
Looking around, it looks like it's about 75% men here around that.
Let me tell you, as somebody who's gone to a lot of these crypto conferences over the years, for the last several years, this is a good ratio compared to the past.
Okay, yeah. So it's getting
better. I have been
for sure.
actually pretty impressed by the women that are here.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I think,
yeah.
honestly, I think the Liberty aspect is bringing a different crowd in.
Yeah,
totally.
You're
as
right,
well.
Right.
The anarchy, the self-sustainability, all that stuff. There's
definitely.
There are different crowds that are coming in here, and they're getting introduced to cryptocurrency because of that. So you created this thing. Nobody had already done the couple with Bitcoin?
Well, our biggest competitors... it was actually called the Crypto Couple because we would have done Crypto
and you're
Couple.
The encrypted couple.
Yeah, we're the encrypted couple like the Matrix.
There's a good hippie contingent here at Anarchapulco 2018, and they're beautiful, wonderful people. Danny Sessom's here with us, kind of a one of our regulars. Always, if we're around and you're around, you're pretty much always on with Free Talk Live. TheCryptoShow.com. It is, I would say, the preeminent, maybe one of the longest lasting podcasts in the cryptocurrency
yeah, we've been,
world.
We've been on air for 4 years now.
Congratulations. Yeah. And you're doing, what, more than once a week now? How many?
We're always Wednesday and Sunday. I don't know. Should I say the time? Because it would be in competition with yours. It doesn't matter. I mean, I guess this is not like regular, mainstream radio. So we're
we put our competition on the Liberty Radio Network. So
okay.
It's like,
oh, there
it's
you
all
go.
Good. We
that's
love
right,
to share.
That's right. That's right. So we're 8 to 10 p.m., but don't listen to us live.
Is that Central or Eastern?
Central.
Okay.
So if you want to listen to us, make sure it's on LRN.fm.
Which, of course, you can't actually know when to listen exactly. On LRN, we program a podcast loop, and you're part of that,
awesome.
That loop, which means you're heard amongst a couple dozen other libertarian podcasts. And of course, you guys are also liberty-oriented people
right.
that are hosting this show. So it's not like you've got statists that are talking about how crypto needs to be regulated, right?
Oh, no. We give out tax information and things like that. No. No, we never do that. Don't pay your taxes.
Exactly. What taxes? They're not my taxes. Dash is doing, humanitarian outreach,
exactly.
basically.
Yeah. No, Dash. See, that's the thing. It's not Dash's idea. It's my idea.
Sure.
And I put it forward. It can be your idea.
It's the individuals
yeah.
who make up Dash, who are the masternodes, basically,
exactly.
Which are, around 4,500, 5,000, somewhere
yeah,
in that range
exactly.
of the masternodes who vote on proposals. So you're talking about you have made proposals. One
right.
would be to support the Crypto Show
right.
As a sponsor, right?
Right.
And then the other would be to do the construction thing.
It's actually all it's all in one.
Is it? Okay.
It's all actually one proposal.
Interesting.
I kind of stacked it together, and then there's
a that increases the chances that it'll pass?
Well, for me, what I think the benefit is that we have we're advertising on the show.
Yep.
That's one thing. Now we're doing these humanitarian efforts. So now you want to talk to me about it. So I'm expanding it to your show. I'm expanding it to other shows. So
right.
my reach is much farther now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Than just my show, because now everybody else's show wants to find out, what am I doing with Dash? This is really cool.
And what is happening with Dash? What's some of the latest news out of the Dash community?
Oh, so the latest, they've integrated into Uphold, so you can just buy it just about anywhere. I think
really?
Bit Refill, so that you can top up your phone everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm working on getting it integrated into Bitso. That's the third prong of my proposal, is I'm getting it integrated into Bitso. Here.
What's that?
That's the Mexican Bitcoin Exchange.
Oh. You have a bot that you've created, and it's not quite done yet, right? It's the alpha?
It's an alpha release right now, yeah.
And so what is the bot? What does it do right now? And what's the vision for the future?
So the bot is basically one of the interfaces to the Blockspace brand. And
Blockspace, okay.
Yeah, Blockspace yep. itself. So with the bot, you can do pretty much everything that you can do with our app. But we basically had the idea of just developing a blockchain Telegram bot, so that when you communicate with your friends about cryptocurrencies yep. or anything that's related to crypto market on Telegram, that you don't really have to leave Telegram if you want to share information. So we put in the
switching
bot.
Apps.
So you can just use the bot and you can just share charts or prices or anything that's related to the crypto market right from within Telegram without even leaving it.
Yeah, and I was looking at it here just a moment ago. It's based on buttons, so you don't have to do /this/that. There's
yeah.
not a bunch of commands that somebody has to type in, like if I want to get
yeah.
Bitcoin Cash price or something like that, I don't have to type some sort of long command in.
Yeah.
It's just a couple button presses. And
yeah, easy. We want to do it as easy as possible.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it takes to beat the competition, because you guys aren't the only people in the pricing app space, but you might be the first, I don't know, maybe not the first, but certainly the first I've heard of, Telegram based bot. One of the more, or at least seemingly to the newbie, esoteric things about Bitcoin is mining.
Yeah, right? They hear about it, they just don't know exactly what it is.
Right, and you know, it's mining sounds like somebody's got a pickaxe and they're, you know, down in a cave somewhere with a light on their head.
I'm pretty sure they don't think it's that.
No, okay. Well, it's certainly that can evoke that you know, viewpoint, if you yep. will, or that view of mining. There is work involved in mining. It's just computer work. It's setting up programs. It's running these mining software on specific hardware that, you know, has gotten better over time and more specific to the purpose of mining. And Buchanan Dowling is joining us here. He's Beerman81. That's Beerman81 on YouTube. Buchanan, welcome to Free Talk Live.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you had told us that you had set up a mining operation and that this is basically what you do now, and that you are using the money that's coming in, or the Bitcoin or whatever it is you're mining, and maybe it's Monero. I know that's one of the more profitable ones. Maybe it's more than one thing, to pay for your college that you're going to right now. So tell me, you know, what was it that inspired you to get into mining?
Well, primarily it was the money.
Okay.
Are
you in the United States?
Yes, okay. I live in Houston, Texas. I'm not afraid to admit that. A lot of all people right. don't like to admit where they're at, but Houston, Texas, it's a little hot down there, but it's a very open community of people.
I don't want to rub it in or anything like that for our listeners that couldn't make it here, but you threw a really awesome gathering at your house in the hills. Was it Old Acapulco where you live?
No, this is kind of the new.
You're in the newer side. Okay, I wasn't sure. It still was a little bit of a drive from the hotel.
Yeah.
And beautiful house. You opened it up to what was probably 90% strangers, you know, people you'd never met before. And it obviously wasn't the whole of Acapulco that was at this. It was maybe about, what, 200 or something? It's hard to estimate.
About 200 people.
It's hard to estimate crowds. Lots of people, you know, that made connections there at that party that, you know, maybe they otherwise wouldn't have. So you contributed to making this an even better event, even though that wasn't an officially, you know, sanctioned thing. You just kind of went around and passed out invitations to people, and or you had people do it. Because I didn't think we had met prior to me pulling you aside at the party and saying...
Well, I think I gave Mark some tickets.
You did.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you.
Somehow, one made it into my
wife
hand.
And my wife and I were asleep by 9:30.
Yeah.
10:30 maybe.
But I made a point of going there, and it was really, really, really great show. And so, was that something that you've been doing every single year?
Yeah, well, we, you know, the first year we came here, we didn't really, you know, we didn't know anybody for the most part.
Right.
And over that next year, we were able to kind of, you know, move from our little modest area to something rather significant, as you saw. And, you know, by doing that, we thought right off the bat, you know, we're going to have to share our good
That's
fortune.
A big pool with a bar in it. It's not you can have guests over, and you did, man. It was absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.